Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Yesterday, all the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason, you know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it, tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 15th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Mari. How you doing, Mari?
Taryn, I am doing great. This is definitely a turnaround from when I was on here on Thursdays on BB22, and I literally had to stretch for speculation. So I think today, if we're going to go long, it's going to be a natural long, because this is a very fun day to kind of watch on the feeds.
Yeah, there is a lot going on here. Again, not a lot in terms of the vote, but yes, definitely a lot in terms of setting up for this coming HOH competition. It was day 8 in the house, and we are here to tell you about everything that happened on day 8. Which was a Wednesday. Yeah, we're going to have some fun here. It is the, the final full day of Frenchie's HOH reign. We have finally come to a close. The reign of terror is over. Yeah. We've made it through.
Yeah.
not all of us came out the other side of it, but, you know, we'll hold a vigil. We're going to be okay. We've made it through. You don't need to feel guilty for surviving it. It's we're going to soldier on.
We're all in this together. Yep.
Yes. let's talk about the final full day of Frenchie's reign here. We started the day with a bit of Brittany. She had been. So the day before, let's set the scene.
Yes,
Travis and Alyssa are on the block. Travis has plans to pitch to Frenchie on day 8, the day that we're talking about. We talked about that yesterday on the update, that he had plans to make his pitch. So that's going to happen. In addition to that, the day before, on day 7, Frenchie started a women's alliance that included him. And they called it French Kisses, and he then proceeded to rat the alliance out. Now,
immediately,
the alliance did not include Brittany. She was not there for it, but she was told about it by Azza, and her and Azza had conversations about their original alliance that they called the Sirens, sort of temporarily, that I've kind of been talking about it. As the Sirens. And in that conversation, she felt very good. They talked about wanting to go far together. So as we get to day 8, Brittany is going to say to the cameras that her number one in the game is Azza. And she really wants to go far with Azza.
Yeah, and this was really good. Definitely for Azza. I think also for Brittany. I was really afraid that she was going to like hitch her wagon to Frenchie and just like try and ride that. And I'm so glad that we'll see throughout this day she's like coming to that realization that Frenchie is a madman. I think Azza is the perfect person to bounce those logical points off of her. I think Brittany is the fun, energetic, like the, you know, that can probably pull Azza out of her shell because Azza is very reserved. I think you were speaking on it a few days ago where she needs to really kind of get more social. But I like this duo. I really do. I like them. They're two people. I like to watch them talk on the cameras. I definitely love to listen to them. So good for them. This can only help them.
Yes. So they talk about, you know, the sirens again. It's not really the official name. But they talk about it and they're like, you know, is this going to be a thing? Because we haven't really talked much after the initial, sort of getting together. So they get them together. They come together and, they officially name the alliance the Kingslayers.
Yes. And this is Tiffany, Claire, Azza, and Brittany. Mm-hmm. And it was very funny watching them. They put their hands in. They said, we each got to do poses. They want to do the gesture where then there's like a knife cut every time. I mean, I love it. I do. I love all of this. This is a very smart move for Tiffany and Claire, who already have the jackpot, you know. Mm-hmm. We spent all day talking about one all girls alliance when there's multiple, you know, women's alliances going on. So it's like, this was fun. Brittany clearly was like, wait, what? Like, she is still, we'll see that Brittany is still on the fence about women's alliances and stuff like that. But for now, the Kingslayers are a thing. All they need is a little bit of power so that they can, you know, start making roots in the house. So it was just really funny seeing all four of them together and trying to get their poses and try to, and they said they're going to use fire and desire as their weapons. I don't know what that means, but I'm here for it. I'm here for all of this.
Yes. Just, you know, be careful with your hands when you're named the Kingslayers. Some people will get that. So we've got the Kingslayers. They are here. They are ready to go. Brittany is going to talk a bit with Tiffany about Frenchie's whole, you know, women's alliance and all of that. They're not into it. This is a no go. The guys are already starting to get concerned about a women's alliance. And so like the last thing they need to do is encourage this thing with Frenchie and get in trouble for it, which is exactly, I guess, the intention behind the alliance in the first place.
Exactly. So I thought Tiffany said that she literally does not want to bring this, doesn't want to bring the alliance up at all anymore. She wants to pretend like it never happened. And I'm like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, I do kind of feel like that's a good strategy in a sense. So I'm kind of like, okay, you bring it up. If somebody brings it up to you, you're like, wait, what? No, they all agree that they're going to blame it on Frenchie anyway. So I kind of like this, but then when you see the other side of the house already spreading like wildfire, it's like, should they be trying to douse that or what? But it's, you know, they have to wait till tonight, Thursday, because it'll really just depend on who gets HOH.
Mm-hmm. They are also going to talk about, you know, one of the reasons Brittany doesn't want to be involved in this whole thing is that if she's aligned with all of the women, then it's going to really limit her options for who she can nominate. I feel like I've seen this a lot lately that like, I heard it a lot on Big Brother Canada 9. I'm hearing it a lot this season about like, well, I've got to have some kind of reason to nominate somebody, and I've got to have I've got to have some people I'm allowed to nominate. And I can understand to some degree. And as we all know, you know, Vanessa was the classic sort of person that needed a reason to nominate somebody, but Vanessa just made stuff up.
Right, exactly.
Like that was all she needed to do. You don't need to actually have enemies, and you don't need to actually have people actually do things to wrong you in order to have a reason to put them. Just make something up. Frenchie certainly did.
And it's still early enough. It's still early enough for it too. So like it's, you know, it, when you're in power, the people flock to power. You'll get them. You'll get more information. You can have your one-on-ones, and then you could just say, oh, well, everybody in the house wanted you up. And in all honestly, maybe only three people wanted the person up. Like, it's really not that big of a deal. Once you have power, you'll get the more information to then use it against whoever you want to use it against. So I like throughout this day, we were getting some answers as to who would be playing for HOH and who won't. So I can't wait till we talk about that as well.
Yes. But in particular, you know, Brittany, never been the biggest fan of Hannah. And she also feels like she has seen a new side to Sarah Beth ever since the night before, when she was like all of a sudden like super social, and she was really into the games, and
Mafia or something.
Yes, they played Mafia. and so now Sarah Beth is also, I guess, a little bit threatening for Brittany.
So I still don't understand why Brittany isn't considering any of the men. Like,
right. She always talks about the women as threatening. Right. I feel like what about
I mean
the rest of that?
I don't
know what it is here. It seems like she is particularly threatened by like seemingly smart. Like, it's always like, Hannah's so smart. I'm so worried about Hannah. She seems so smart. And now it's like, Sarah Beth, like, she's so smart. She's got what it takes. So it's something to be concerned about, I think, here, because it doesn't benefit Brittany at all to go after those people.
Right. But this is why I am glad that Azza is her number one, because I think Azza is really good at possibly gently steering her away from other people. I kind of get because Brittany and Whitney are actually pretty close, or at least they were. We don't get enough of it anymore, but that's, you know, Azza and Tiffany's current target, like Whitney and Brent situation. So I'm hoping, you know, Brittany saying she's not really gunning for HOH, but if she does, I'm hoping Azza will be able to get in her ear instead of like a Frenchie or a Christian. We find out Britt is really close to Christian. I didn't know that until yesterday. So I can see Brittany being very susceptible if she wins HOH. So it's just, who will she listen to?
Yeah. And you know, again, I think Azza as her number one, the Kingslayers as her primary alliance here, I think she'll be fine in terms of who she should go after. But it's definitely been a running theme for Brittany all seasons that and all season, I mean, 8 days that she has. She's sort of like just had a bug in her ear about this whole, you know, Hannah thing, and now sort of Sarah thing. Frenchie's going to talk with Derek, and Derek is going to give Frenchie a heads up that Travis plans on giving him a pitch later tonight. Tiffany was not pleased about this when she heard about it, but I think what Derek was trying to do was help, because he was basically giving some of the pitch to Frenchie, and Frenchie was like, oh, you know, I would love to keep Travis, but I don't think the votes are there. But Tiffany was like, you ruined it.
Yeah. And this, can I just say, this conversation between Derek and Frenchie was one of the hardest conversations I had to listen to all yesterday. I was like, I don't want to. Like, it was literally just a conversation of Derek X rehashing his mistakes, trying to pitch for Travis. But a lot of it was Frenchie trying to make himself out to be a victim. Like, this was the hardest week for me. You guys will never understand. And then telling Derek lies about how he'll go to bat for him and stuff. Like, I was just, I can't. I couldn't. I did, but I didn't want to. Like,
Frenchie's also going to talk with Whitney, and Whitney has been thinking about what Frenchie told her the night before, which was that, as I said, Frenchie has this alliance with the women now that he created, then went on to expose it to some of the members of Slaughterhouse.
Yeah. Brent, Whitney, and who else did he expose it to?
Xavier was there.
Okay.
But he most explicitly explained it to Whitney. He sort of alluded to it with the other people, and like really dropped it to Whitney. And she's been thinking about it, and she's actually very pleased with these turn of events, because if the Women's Alliance, he said the Women's Alliance, they want to go after the big targets, the big guys on the other side of the house. And she's like, well, that's actually great for me. Sure, I wasn't included in this. But what that means for us, Frenchie, is that they're going to be going after the stronger players on our team that we can't go after. And the stronger members of our team are threatened by them and will be going after them, which puts us in a very good place.
Yeah, Whitney and Frenchie were having this conversation in the storage room. And I mean, they were already talking about, okay, what are we going to do at Final Five? Who are we going to get out of Slaughterhouse like first? Once we get to Final Five, Frenchie was like, I'm going to win everything. I have the motive. We have the motivation. Like, I'll beat anybody. I was just like, oh my God, you guys, it's still week one. Nobody has gone home and you are already like talking about Final Five. That is so annoying. And not only is it so annoying in the way that just bringing that up, but the way Frenchie was just like, I have control over everything. They were talking about the girls' alliances. He was like, when Whitney said, okay, I was thinking about targeting Claire, but now I don't want to target Claire if she's going to get rid of the people in our alliance.
Yes. And he said that Claire is the one that started the whole thing.
Yes, exactly. And then Frenchie was like, if Claire wins, I have Claire's ear. I was like, in what? You know what? I want to exit the world of Frenchie. Like, I hope this HOH just shatters the alternate reality that he has constructed for all of us. Like, send me to the next multiverse, you know? Like, I don't want this.
It's actually kind of helped the women to a degree.
Yeah.
Because now Whitney kind of wants the women to win. Like, she was thinking, I need to win and I need to go after Claire because I don't trust Claire. Now she's thinking, well, if Claire is trying to lead some kind of, you know, women's revolt against the men, be my guest. Exactly. And so, you know, that's perfectly fine for her. And this is, I think going to backfire on Frenchie because, first of all, the way that he's going to tell people is pretty ridiculous, although he still is getting away with it. But again, it's encouraging his own allies to not win the HOH. And that's not, particularly great here for him.
Especially when he can't play and he completely thinks he's covered. Him and Whitney were saying that they can just, you know, teeter totter in between the alliances. They're in the middle and they'd be safe. I can see where Whitney is coming from this, but Frenchie, like, you are, I'm sorry, you're the head of the snake. You know what I'm saying? So they might take one or two shots at the body first, but I don't see down the line how you expect to get to where you're going at the Final Five. He plans to win everything. That's the answer to the question. He plans to win everything. He thinks he's good with everybody. He thinks he can ride the middle, even though he's clearly seen as the leader. You know, I get where he's going because he knows real good Big Brother strategy. The strategy is if there's two big alliances and you are able to, you know, have them tear each other apart, that's where you want to be, at the bottom of those, you know, one of those big alliances. But you're not. You're at the top and everybody knows it. So I don't know.
I think this whole thing with the French kisses is that I think that in Frenchie's mind, he wants, like, he's saying that they approached him because like in his mind, that's like, yeah, of course the women want to work with me. And I'm almost convinced at this point that he is convinced that they did approach him.
Oh my God. He inceptioned himself.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised at that. I'm not surprised at one bit. And Whitney is buying it hook, line, and sinker. Well, she's not questioning this at all.
Nobody is. Nobody expects anybody to be that delusional and weird.
That would be my first question. So all the women approach you, a man, to be in your all-women's alliance. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No,
please lead us, man.
Man. What did Claire say? I don't need no man to start an all-girls alliance. Like, yeah. this is ridiculous. But his allies buy it, hook, line, and sinker. They think he's in on it. They think he can give them intel. I'm floored right now. I'm floored. It's working. Like you were saying on the round table, this should not be working, but it's working. And I need a new HOH.
I think, well, here's part of it, right? And maybe there's something that we can learn from this, but Frenchie's lies are so nonsensical that it almost makes them harder to spot, because when you lie in the house about something that makes logical sense, like this is something that would benefit me, I am therefore going to lie about it and get a benefit from it, it's easier to spot, because it's like, well, why might they be lying about this? Well, they benefit from it. Maybe I should look at it critically. When Frenchie lies, it's just, it makes no sense. It doesn't appear to benefit him in any possible way. So why would he be lying? We ask that question as well. Why is he lying about this? It makes no sense. And so in a way, because of that, the lies are landing. And they do ultimately benefit him in a roundabout way, because he's getting people to not trust people who aren't him. But they are so roundabout and unintentional, I believe, that it ends up halfway working.
Right. Yes. So he now a good portion of his allies are like, Women's Alliance. All right, they can take out some of these people, which should go to the fact that Slaughterhouse is clearly like, they're not tight, because every single member is kind of hoping somebody else is getting taken out. Every single one of them. I think the only person who's really like tight for Slaughterhouse is Big D. He's the only one who's like, yeah, we're going to ride this to the end. I mean, everybody else, they want to ride this to the end, but they're also like, somebody else gets power. It's not too bad.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about it, but you know, Christian and Alyssa are like, when are we going to take a shot at Kylan, Xavier, Brent? Brent is pretty gung ho about I almost called them Chop Shop Slaughterhouse. but you got Whitney, who's like, at some point we've got to take a shot at the big guys in the Alliance. And of course, Xavier couldn't care less about the Alliance. And Kylan's barely in it at this point. He's already exposed it to some people. So it's not a group of people that are going to stick together. It is definitely a lot more grateful than it is, even Bomb Squad was a bit tighter than this. And when detonators came from it, it was just, we're shaving off the fat. The Butchers, ironically, can't use that metaphor because they are not the real core right now and things would have to shift, but we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. But this was just such a very interesting talk with Whitney and Frenchie in the storage room. They solidified their final two.
Yes.
And they discussed what going forward, because they have already teleported to the final five.
So I just to count them, Frenchie has a final two with Brent, with Big D, with Christian, and with Whitney.
Okay.
I don't think I'm missing any there.
No, I don't think you're missing any of those four. Who do you think he's the strongest final two with from everything we've seen so far?
I think he's most loyal to Brent.
Brent, yes, exactly.
I think that, but I don't know that he would like for sure go to the end with Brent, right? Like he'd probably, he'd down the line, he might be like, well, I'd rather go to the end with Big D or maybe not Big D if he's too likable, maybe Whitney or something like that, right? So.
Yeah, he might get that big move-itis and chop Brent there.
Let's not hope that that he has that option.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong. Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Tiffany is going to talk with Christian, and Christian is he's not sure if he wants to win the next HOH.
Right.
He's won basically every competition he's played in, according to me. But he's won at least two competitions, and he doesn't want to have to win a third so soon. He doesn't want to continue to grow the target on his back. And Tiffany is like, yeah, definitely. You definitely don't want to win this one. I completely agree. It would put a big, much bigger target on your back. You should definitely throw this one. And you obviously like don't need to worry about me. If I win, I have no intention of putting you up, which is true. But I love that she is encouraging the biggest competition threat in the game to not try to win a competition in a week where it's really important for her and her allies to win a competition.
Yes. And Christian can't play in the what do they call it?
The safety suite.
Same thing, right? The wild card. So he's literally hedging all his bets on if he gets to play in veto. He's like, I can win the veto. I think he says this to Brittany later on. He says, I can win the veto. I just can't win the HOH. Dude, do you know there's not a guarantee that you can play in the veto? You are guaranteed to play in the HOH. There's a good chance you won't play in the veto. So again, you've said it time and time again, all of this target management when it comes to these big guys who've already won competitions, it makes no sense for you to pull your foot off the gas at this point, because no matter what you do, you will be seen as a comp threat, not only because of your build, but because you've won comp. So like, just keep going at this point. But if he wants to throw it, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Hannah is going to talk with Tiffany a little bit, and express finally her frustration with Frenchie. Hannah's been one of the holdouts, in terms of like not being willing to talk too much smack about Frenchie. But she is really starting to get sick, because Frenchie, throughout the day is going to continue to, he's back on his, soapbox. And he is, preaching to the house and lecturing them about, how sick and tired he is of women and minorities going early in these games. He's so tired of it, guys. As he preaches to a very diverse cast.
After he's put up both minorities and a woman on the block. Yeah, of course. Like, Frenchie is the only player that will make a promise to you, break the promise, but continue to remind you of the promise he made and say, I always keep my promises. Sir, you do not. We just saw it. Like, he should be wanting people to forget that statement ever came out of his mouth, but he's still here preaching it. He's still bringing up all this social justice stuff that we've all said is clearly performative. I don't care what anybody says. It's clearly performative. Frenchie is if a black box was a person, a black square on Instagram was a person. It's performative allyship. And so Hannah clocks him to Tiffany. Tiffany, a lot of people thought Tiffany was defending him in this. She wasn't defending him. She was saying, like, that's probably what he thinks, but he is using it socially as a strategy in the house. And Hannah goes on to say, you shouldn't do that, which you shouldn't. But I think my only thought process to try and make any of this make sense is that Frenchie is saying this so he can get in people's minds that if he does target a minority or a woman, it's not because they're a minority or a woman. It's because he can make up whatever excuse he wants to.
I really hate it when this happens, and I really don't want to have to do this, but my hands were tied because I love Brent. Yeah, she's sick and tired of Frenchie being sick and tired. She can't believe he nominated a black man and a Latino woman. Yes. And he's going on about how he hates it when minorities go home. As you said, she feels like this should not be used as a strategy if that's what's going on. Derek is going to talk with Christian. A couple of conversations in the day between Derek and Christian. Derek X, of course. Christian asks Derek about, finally asks him about the whole "you kind of threw me under the bus" thing. You kind of said I was a potential target thing. And Derek correctly says, "What? No. I never did those things. I've never said your name, I swear." Honestly, the only time I even heard your name was when Frenchie was asking people if they would vote you out. And Kristen's like, "Oh, okay." Kristen doesn't believe him, unfortunately. Derek says, "Look, here's the thing. I am voting Travis out. I wanted to use the veto on Alyssa as well. Like, I have nothing against Alyssa. I'm going to be voting to keep her. I'm with you. Don't worry about me, please." Christian tries to convince him that a woman will need to leave next week because there's been talk that they might be working together. So watch out for that.
Yeah. And so you say Derek X really never targeted Christian.
No.
Okay. That's what I thought. But Christian is convinced Derek X is coming for him.
Yeah. Because Frenchie lied about it. Yeah.
Alyssa is convinced Derek X is coming for Christian. They think he is the only person right now that they have to be afraid of, and it'll show up later when Alyssa is doing her one-on-ones, and she said, "Yep, Derek X completely lied to my face." When you look at Derek X, it's like, he's so cuddly. He's not lying. Like, I don't know. It's just, oh yeah, this is bad. But I think Derek X is just in a hole that he cannot get out of unless he gets some power and unless he's able to flip everybody's perception of him. So I hope he wins.
Would be interesting. Big D and Xavier are going to talk. Big D.
Yes.
Not very loyal to the cookout.
No, not at all.
We're going to have to let Tiffany and Azza go, says Big D. Xavier's like, it's not anytime soon. You know, later on, yes.
Exactly. Sorry, I just wanted to point out because a lot of people on Twitter thought Xavier was agreeing with Big D here. He was not. Xavier clearly does not want to let Tiffany or Azza go anytime soon, especially since, again, it's only week one. Big D is, I think Big D is getting, he's getting battered down because Azza keeps, I don't know why Azza keeps venting to him about Frenchie like every night. But I think he's just getting annoyed that he really has to try and be in the middle of the two of them. And he's clearly, we've all seen it. Big D is, like you pointed out correctly from the jump, Big D is the weakest link when it comes to the cookout. I think he would want to just get rid of Tiffany or Azza so he doesn't keep having to do this balancing act between them and Frenchie. But Xavier is, we need Xavier in this game because Xavier is just calming Big D down. He's trying to get Big D he's reining him in because Big D just clearly wants chaos. He wants chaos. I'll let you continue, but there's so much I have to say about this conversation.
Yes. Well, yeah, I do. I think it's important to point out that Xavier is playing a very passive game right now, and he pretty much is going to agree with anything that anybody says to him. And so in order to figure out what he really thinks, you have to either listen to him talk to the cameras or try to sort of like read between the lines sometimes. If he gives slight pushback, that probably indicates that that's his actual stance, but he's not willing to take a firm stance on it. So he'll agree, but be like, but maybe like a little bit later. And so I'm with you. I think that, I don't think that he would like, for Tiffany or Aza to go anytime soon.
And the one time he did give any kind of semi-firm pushback, Fringy asked if he was threatening him. So I Xavier is playing very passive. The one thing I don't like is in this conversation, him and Big D agreed that they were not going to go for the HOH this week, which really sucks for Xavier because Xavier is already being targeted by Frenchie and I think Brent and Alyssa. And most of Slaughterhouse is already talking about we're going to have to cut Xavier and Kylan. Sometime, you know, soon or not, they're not getting to the five or whatever. So, Xavier is playing with fire this week. Hopefully he's able to, I'm confident so far. I'm kind of confident in his skills to navigate it so far. But hopefully going further, he tries to actually get some real power.
Yes. So here's the thing. I don't know that I would trust Xavier to do the right thing with the HOH if he did win it. So in some ways, I'm glad that he's going to throw that. But I completely agree. He does not realize the danger that he is in right now. And I really think that he needs to be trying to win. And maybe once he does win, he can figure out some actual information and do something about it. He is concerned about Kylan being on the outs of the Slaughterhouse. So Xavier says this, and I'm wondering if this is partially why he is in the dark because of this mistaken belief. He says that because Brent, Whitney, and Alyssa were the last three to be brought into the Slaughterhouse, he feels like they must be on the bottom. But that is very blatantly not true if you know anything about the dynamics of the Slaughterhouse. So if he actually believes that, then I think we are seeing like where the misalignment is here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so how can you think that those three are on the bottom when you just see how they interact with Frenchie? If Frenchie is supposed to be the top of the Slaughterhouse because he is the HOH, he had the power, he was the one who formed it. Frenchie is with Brent 24/7, like if they can. Whitney has been linked to Brent. They're talking, people are saying, are they going to showmance? Are they not? So I just don't understand how anybody can think that they're near the end of the Slaughterhouse. But, you know, again, it's week one. They're still trying to get the totem pole right. I think if like Claire or somebody else on the outside of the Slaughterhouse wins HOH, Xavier might see that he's on the bottom if they try to push the target onto him. And that would be great for his game. If he knows that information, the person doesn't target him, and then he gets power and he can turn back and target Slaughterhouse.
Yeah. And that's the thing about somebody outside of the Slaughterhouse winning is that all of these cracks in the Slaughterhouse, if one of the Slaughterhouse wins, they may not act on those cracks yet because it makes no sense for them to.
Exactly.
But if somebody outside of the Slaughterhouse wins, you best believe
that
the messiness will happen.
Like we, Big Brother gods, please, you owe us one. You owe us one. We need one competition.
Not a single competition went the right way last season.
Yes, exactly.
We need one.
Just give us one because that alliance is so fragile. It's been glued together. Like if one push and it's shattered. So I would really love to see somebody outside win so that we can just get all of the cracks forming and stuff like that. But Big D and Xavier. This is such a good conversation. Mostly because I also want to point out Big D in this conversation, we always kind of thought that he was a recruit, you know, that he knows the game, but is he in love with the game like some of these super fans? After listening to this conversation, I don't think he is. He even talks about maybe not even wanting to make it to jury. He talks about he wants to create chaos and stir the pot. I think he, correct me if I'm wrong here, Taryn, or tell me what you think about this. He thinks that if he stirs the pot and causes chaos, then the Slaughterhouse won't come after him and Xavier. And I'm like, I feel like that's the exact opposite, because when alliances are like calmer and they have a structure, or people within those alliances feel like they have a safer bet than other people in the alliance, I think they're more likely to target bigger people in the alliance than the people on the bottom of the totem pole. If everything is chaotic, then it's just like, throw out the people who are on the bottom of the totem pole. And Xavier is definitely on the bottom of the totem pole. So I didn't agree with this at all. What are your thoughts on that?
I completely agree. It's one of the first, you know, arguments I made against, you know, the kinds of twists that they would often introduce that, like, yes, especially in Big Brother Canada, that cause so much chaos and make people insecure about their own positions. The less secure you are about your position in the game, the less likely you are to make bigger moves and bigger plays. You're going to be exactly clinging to whatever makes you feel comfortable, and that's the easy route. What you want to do is make people feel very, very comfortable, because then, yes, they start to go, I can do whatever I want. And that's when you get some good stuff.
It's kind of like that classic, like, Survivor, like, once they go up on the, with the big numbers, they're like, okay, we can chop off one of our numbers.
Exactly.
In a sense. So I was like, oh my God, Big D, you're just taking the completely wrong approach to all of this. Talking about he wants to throw a rogue vote when people, Derek X has already may have said that he might vote that way. And Xavier was really trying to explain to him, if Derek says that he's going to vote that way and you throw a rogue vote, that's two rogue votes. Then we have to try and figure out, they'll have to try and figure out who that extra vote is. Then it'll probably land on either Kylan or Tiffany, because Kylan and Tiffany or Claire are in Travis's alliance. That puts heat on two cookout members. And Big D was like, oh, I just want to start chaos. I'm like, I can't. He's the weakest link. Goodbye. I can't stand it.
All right. Well, Alyssa is going to talk with Derek. She says, look, I won't mind if you want to vote to keep Travis. Just let me know ahead of time. And he says, don't worry about it. I do not plan on voting to evict you. I'm voting to evict Travis. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, but she's already told everybody. If he had told me that, I would still be like, I'm still going to use it to target you.
Yeah, she's just looking for a reason to target him.
Exactly. And at this point, Taryn, do you think the rogue vote, the hinky vote, is now too meta to even like use as a strategy? Because at this point, I'd be like, okay, there's an obvious person that people are going to blame for this vote. So I'm going to think that that person did not cast that vote, to be quite honest. Because at this point, what does it benefit them?
It's never that person. If there's an obvious person who, like, if it's like, okay, Derek X is friends with Travis, but he's saying he's going to vote Travis out, and then afterwards there's one vote for Travis to stay, and Derek X is like, it wasn't me. Nobody thinks it's Derek X. You just because you've gotten away with blaming him for everything so far, what this would actually do, in my opinion, is that if there is a rogue vote, and we'll talk about how there really might be later on, I think that what this really will do is exonerate Derek X, because it will make it look like somebody is trying to pin something on him and that he is innocent of. And when you are exonerated of one thing, it kind of spreads. Well, he's innocent. And if somebody's trying to pin one thing on him, what about the other things, right? So I actually think it would be good for Derek X's game if somebody is to cast a rogue vote and the blame tries to go on to Derek X.
Yeah, this is so messy. This is week one, y'all. Come on now. We're about to get to that. But the rogue votes are... it never goes how you plan. Like, it never goes how you plan. Like, honestly.
Yeah. So Sarah, Beth, and Kylan are going to talk a bit more. They discuss the alliances that they're in again. Kylan still not telling her about the cookout, but explaining more about the Slaughterhouse. Sarah Beth is going to tell him about French kisses. She's going to go off again about Derek X and how he threw her name out there. And how, you know, like I can't believe I'm trying to play rationally, but I just can't believe that he would do that. And Kylan finally is going to stick up for Derek X a bit. Like, he's not really coming for you. He's going to try and get her to move on to different targets. And he makes some progress. Again, as I said, Sarah Beth clearly has put all of her eggs in the Kylan basket. He can say whatever he wants to her. You don't have to, like, play down your opinions here. If you don't want her to go after Derek X, just say, Derek X, I think Derek X is with me. I don't think he's coming for you. I really don't think you should target him. Just like straight up, like, please don't target him. And she would be like, okay. But instead he's trying to play it a little quieter. But it's still, it's much better than what he was doing before, which was nah, go after him. And so she's like, well, yeah, maybe I could do, you know, the Brent Whitney thing, and take that shot at the big alliance. But still, if I needed a replacement nominee, Derek X.
Yeah, I at least like that Sarah is factoring in the big alliance. I think this conversation, you can tell that she's trying to be Kai's center. And again, we know Kai struggles with, I think they said it was extreme ADHD on the feeds. I just want to, watching the rest of this night play out, I just want to preface that when they were saying that, oh, Kai just says all sorts of random stuff. Like, I get hit the pauses. He just says random stuff. I'm like, guys, that is also a symptom of his disorder. Like, it's not just the random stuff. It was when he was talking to Sarah Beth, and Sarah Beth is like, why are you even thinking of that option? Because in his mind, he's thinking of every option. That is the, that is one of the driving things that happens when you have that type of disorder. So, I hope I'm saying that right, but he is thinking of every angle from every person's head. And it's sad because it's going to affect him in this type of game. But I love that Sarah Beth is there to kind of help him wade through it all. And it doesn't seem like she's getting frustrated with him at all with it. I mean, in this conversation, she was kind of like, wait, what? Why are we thinking of this? But I think she is there to help center him. And I do like their friendship. I'm so rooting for Kai. I love his energy. I love how he is dealing with this in that house. And I know it's not easy for him, but I think he'll find his footing the longer he's in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good conversation overall. Alyssa's going to be doing a lot here through the course of the night. One thing that sort of kicks it off is that she has a conversation with Hannah where, I was talking just yesterday about how Alyssa seemed to have like this weird thing with Hannah. And so she's going to talk with Hannah, and Hannah talks about how she feels like she's not really been included in, you know, the women stuff. And Alyssa's like, me neither. And they sort of bond over the fact that neither of them have been included in any sort of like potential all women's alliances or anything like that. And Alyssa is coming around to Hannah, and we'll hear more about that, but it spawns from this conversation, and Hannah does a good job of hitting the right notes with Alyssa here.
Yeah, at first I was like, do I want to listen to this conversation, because I thought it was just going to be people like BSing each other, and Hannah was doing a very good job of BSing Alyssa, because Alyssa completely thinks that Hannah is like really not in that all girls thing. Hannah did a really good job of being like, I don't know what. And then they even did had like a pretty people's problems moment. Like, oh, we're just, you know, maybe that it's just because we're, you know, we're pretty. But I was like, oh, girl, Alyssa, girl. Yeah. So this was a great talk for Hannah, because apparently Hannah has been doing a really good job of connecting with a lot of people who initially were shaky about her. I think Brittany said that she is getting closer to Hannah as well. So Hannah is doing a great job of kind of just putting in that social work. And this was a very important talk, because we'll see later that Alyssa wants to keep Hannah in as long as possible within the slaughter, like talking to the slaughterhouse. She says she wants to keep Hannah around as long as possible.
Yes. So finally, Travis is going to make his pitch to Frenchie, and Brent is going to be there as well. This was very disappointing.
Yes.
Primarily because it was a terrible pick. I mean, the points that he was making were fine, but he treated it like he was giving a sales pitch, right? Yeah. Like he's a sales guy. He's like, all right, here are my unassailable points. And what I just want to leave you with is, who really benefits your game more, Alyssa or me? And it's like, this is not how it works in the Big Brother house. Yeah. You don't sit down with somebody for 10 minutes and give them a bullet point list of reasons why you should stay and then bounce. Like, that's just not how it works, and it's how he tried it, and it just fell completely flat. The second he leaves, Brenda's like, great points, but he doesn't know about her alliance, so
yeah,
sucks for him.
He really should have broed down. This is if you're gonna be a bro, this is the perfect bro down moment. If you go in there, you bro down, you then say your points, you get them to volley back at you, you bro down. You might, you know, you'll get one step closer, because we saw all Frenchie wants is to be accepted by these meatheads. But no, he just rattled them off, walked out. And then, I mean, they're okay. Alyssa could have a showmance. He's proved he's loyal, I guess. A possible all-girls alliance, but we already, Alyssa's not in that, so that doesn't help. He'd be a shield for them. Like, those are some good points, but do you think, I agreed when he said he wanted to wait till later to, you know, maybe yesterday to do this, but I didn't think that he was just going to spitball them. You know,
this is not the kind of campaign you make when you wait this long.
Okay.
Right. Like, the kind of campaign you make when you wait this long is one where you introduce chaos and you go to Frenchie last minute and you're like hanging out with him all night and you're like, let it slip that, you know, this person actually said this, and it's information that Frenchie couldn't have possibly known about because maybe it's a lie or maybe it's whatever. And you convince Frenchie that for some reason, Alyssa is a big threat to his game and he didn't realize it before. And he doesn't have time to fully fact check it. And so he's running around and it's Frenchie. So he's probably going to like change his mind in that instant. You don't make points that Frenchie already knows about. Like, Frenchie already knows that she might get in a showmance. Frenchie already knows that, you know, that Travis is a loyal guy. He already thinks those things. You know, in Frenchie's mind, well, Alyssa's in my alliance, so I'm not worried. So the last minute pitch needs to be a pitch of chaos, a pitch of like, destabilizing whatever has been there before and not giving them any time to rebuild.
Nice.
But Travis waited far too long to make this kind of pitch, which is essentially he's trying to build a foundation of, if you're looking at the two of us in a neutral view, here are the reasons why you would pick to go with me. The problem is they already picked Alyssa and they've been spending days building structure on top of that. So it's too late to choose Travis over Alyssa. You've got to knock all of that stuff down and start fresh. And so it's not going to work.
Yep. And that's it. That's plain and simple. Yeah. You're right.
All right. So, Big D is going to talk with Alyssa. Even though Xavier recommended he not do this, he's still going to approach Alyssa with the idea of, and this is Alyssa, mind you. Alyssa, I'm thinking of, casting a rogue vote. It will give us an excuse to go after Derek X. What do you think? No.
Yeah.
I would like if you didn't vote against me, actually.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm assuming we're getting to that explicitly next. But what happens if there is more than one rogue vote? Like, what happens in this scenario where there's two rogue votes and everybody's just looking at each other like this? Like, I feel like the chaos that will ensue will be so hilarious that half of me wants it to happen. But also, I still think that's such a dumb strategy. So I can't like condone throwing rogue votes. But I mean, the entertainment value of that would just be A1.
It is it is very possible that we may get at least one, if not two, and maybe even three rogue votes. I think it's possible. I would say likely we'll get at least one. I think it's possible that, we get a few. So, and honestly, at that point, I feel like it becomes something else. If there's like three or even four rogue votes, then, I think that would actually be, it would flip back around and be a good thing for Slaughterhouse because, it would scare them into thinking that there's an actual opposition.
Oh my God. I don't want accidental game. Oh my gosh. So now that my biggest thing is now that Big D has told Alyssa, if he doesn't go through with this rogue vote, if Xavier convinced him not to go through with this rogue vote and say we do get the one, now does Alyssa just go through what she kind of wants to do is just blame it on Derek X? And even if Derek X is like, oh, I didn't do it, she's like, ah, well, I don't believe you. Or does she look at Big D funny?
I'm sure she would look at Big D funny, actually.
Right,
she may look at Big D funny, even if, she doesn't win power. But I think that Alyssa at this point in time is going after Derek no matter what. And if there is a rogue vote, she will use that as an excuse. Mm-hmm. And people will, I think that it would be good for Derek X if a rogue vote was cast, because I do think it would in some ways exonerate him. There are some instances where it probably wouldn't. And one of those instances is if somebody like Alyssa won, who is dead set on targeting Derek and would use that as an excuse. And people would be like, you know, behind closed doors, they might be like, I don't know if he actually did it, but you know, to everyone's like, oh yeah, yeah. Can't believe Derek X is such a liar because they don't want to be targeted themselves. Right.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Frenchie's going to talk with Tiffany. And this is where, again, more rogue vote talk. But the way that this is approached is just so ridiculous. It's really like Frenchie. I just want you to picture something here. Like Frenchie is a child. He is asking Tiffany for like a toy. He has been told no a lot of times, and so he's trying to be coy about it. He goes, Tiffany, I need your help. Okay. I need your help to keep me safe next week. All right. What do we need to do? With Alyssa and Travis, Derek has been telling everyone that he's going to vote to evict Travis, which means it's going to be unanimous. But if it's unanimous, then everybody's going to be like, oh, Derek, he did what he said he was going to do. Now maybe we like him and you're going to bring him in. He's not going to be targeted anymore. And that's not good for me because then maybe I'm the target. I'm a little bit worried about that. And Tiffany's like, Frenchie, are you asking me to cast a rogue vote? Yeah.
And this is when Tiffany did a very deep sigh. It was very like,
Frenchie. All right, we'll get you your Legos. Fine.
Tiffany did put on that, like, she has a 13-year-old. So she was like,
yeah.
So Tiffany does the deep sigh and she says, you know, I'll do this for you on one condition. What was it? You do not tell anybody. I really love this. Do you have the direct quote by any chance?
Something along the lines of like, you can never say a word about it to anyone.
Yeah.
The rest of the game, like no Brent conversations. I'm not going to say a word about it to anyone. Mm-hmm. And if it ever gets out, I know it's you because I'm not saying a word. And it would ruin the trust that we are building here. And Frenchie's like, yes, I won't say
anything. She said, no matter if we're here for 7 days or 99 days, I don't want you to tell anybody. I don't want you to tell Brent because I know he's your friend. And she's like, did you tell him before you asked me this? Mm-hmm. And then he was like, no. She said, okay, then I don't want you to say it anybody, because I'm not going to say it. And it was so hilarious, first and foremost, because Tiff really did not, you know, she didn't want to do it. But I think she realized that, you know, he asked her directly, and it's a very tough spot to come out of. And, oh, God, I don't know. I don't like this. But I think it could work. Like, if I don't know. This is so bad. I just don't like this.
I think it's good for her relationship with Frenchie, because Frenchie, yes, they now have a shared secret. And Frenchie gets to feel like the big mafioso, who gets to like, reach out to somebody not in his crew for a favor. Right. And she's like, whatever you need, Frenchie, I'm here for you. And he gets to feel like he's, you know, puppeteering, you know, the whole house. Right.
Yeah.
And it's really not, it's really no skin off her back.
I'm like, just about to say that. Yeah.
It doesn't really impact her in any way. Whether or not Derek gets blamed for it, like, she's trying to protect Derek, but like,
she is, yeah,
at the end of the day, he's not like the most valuable piece, even if he did get blamed for it. And it, again, like I said, if he does get blamed for it, it's not because they actually care about the vote. It's just because they would have gone after him anyway. And in some ways, this could end up helping him, because he will be so clearly innocent. So I'm actually pretty fine with this. I think she's perfectly capable of lying about it if she needs to.
Yeah, I agree.
If Frenchie tries to out her, then I do think that people would believe Tiffany over Frenchie when she says, he told me that he wanted me to do this. And you know, idiot I am, I did it for him. I'm so sorry, guys, you know? Yeah. And I don't think that she would really get in much trouble for it, especially since I think Alyssa would absolutely feel more betrayed by Frenchie asking Tiffany to do this than Tiffany going through with doing it. And I don't think anybody on Tiffany's side would care. The only person that might care is Derek, knowing that the whole thing was to blame him. But I think that, you know, who else does Derek have? Tiffany's great at damage control, I think, with him.
Yeah.
So I don't think that there's really much of a problem here, and I'm pretty okay with it.
Yeah, my biggest, it's just trusting Frenchie. It's trusting Frenchie to keep his mouth closed. Like, and Tiffany has already said, like she doesn't want him to tank her game, you know, or maybe that was Azza, but like, I believe Tiffany can pull it off. It's just Frenchie knowing, can Frenchie keep his mouth closed? That is what this is hinging on.
Well,
but again, you made good points.
And the thing too is that I think that you also have to look at, because it's not just like she does it or she doesn't do it in a vacuum. It's in order to not do it, she has to say no to Frenchie.
Right.
And we know how Frenchie reacts to especially women saying no to him. The last time he asked a favor of the women and crickets, he was pissed. And I think that it absolutely would, you know, I think that he would cause more problems for her, making random stuff up that she can't even correctly deny than, you know, if he exposed something that's actually true that she could deny. That, again, it follows a logical path, and it makes sense why Frenchie would have wanted her to cast that rogue vote and all of that stuff. Right. So yeah. I think she makes the right call here.
Oh, man, this is going to be hilarious.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Brittany is going to talk with Tiffany. Now, this I wasn't fully able to follow the path here, but Brittany, it's come back to Brittany that she's been blamed for essentially French kisses. There's some sort of women's alliance with Frenchie that's been, you know, running through the rumor mill. And apparently she's been blamed for being the person who started it. And she's like, what the hell, Tiffany? I wasn't even there. And Tiffany's like, oh, and let me tell you how it started. Actually, I'm not going to tell you how it started. So you don't even know. So you're even more clean of this. And she's like, yes.
That was such a funny conversation. I love Tiffany. Like, literally, she is feeds gold. She's strategic gold. She's just everything. And this conversation in the bathroom was so hilarious because Brittany was doing her Brittany thing, her over-exaggerations, her really fun, spunky self. And Tiffany was like, you know what? I don't know. She was like, I don't know how it got to you, but it's true. I think it was... Because it spawned during that whole Frenchie telling Brent and Whitney thing, because it didn't come out that it was possibly Claire who started it until Whitney was the one who started telling people that when Frenchie told Whitney and then Whitney told everybody else, it was Claire. So I think Brittany was the default in that first iteration.
I think it had to be Brent because Brent had been trying to put a target on Brittany the night before, and it had been kind of shot down. And I think that he may have either assumed it or, the way that Frenchie tells the story is that he went up to Brittany and was like, I'm in. And so maybe he assumed it because of that, if he heard that. And I'm not sure how it got back around to Brittany exactly. But it's this house. So, you know, stuff gets around.
Yeah. And poor Brittany, that was all it was all day. Every time she was on the feed, she's like, an all girls alliance. I don't even want one. What is happening? And I did feel bad for her. She was just so confused as to how it was being blamed on her. And it was really funny.
I will say she blames Frenchie for it.
She does.
This guy started because Tiffany says, I will tell you one thing. It wasn't any women that started that thing. And she's like, I know. She's like, Frenchie starts an all women's alliance, doesn't include me in it, and then blames me for starting it. What is happening?
I am so surprised. I really thought, like, watching those first 2 days of feeds, I really thought Brittany was going to be like with Frenchie all the way, but this throughout the day, it was slowly like eroding, and you could see that she was just like, man, Frenchie got me into this. Of course, still nobody is targeting Frenchie. But everybody is now on, especially a lot of the women are caught on to his BS. Mm-hmm.
So Alyssa is going to talk with Whitney, and Whitney is going to let Alyssa know about the women's alliance that Frenchie was talking about last. You haven't heard yet. Here's the thing. Frenchie told us that there was a women's alliance that approached him to join, and of course neither of us were included, and Alyssa's like, oh, Hannah in it? She's like, no. Hannah's not included either. I was worried about Hannah because Hannah said that she would vote to keep Kyland over me when Frenchie asked her. That's where it started. But today I talked with her, and I really like her, and she's not being included in things either. I really feel like we should keep her around, and so, like, great news for Hannah there. Whitney tells Alyssa that she loves the idea of the women working together to take out big targets because they're aligned with those big targets and they can't take those shots. That places them right in the middle. Best place to be, best position you can be in the game. So Whitney is like, she has her strategic heart in the right place. She's not blindly loyal to her alliance. She wants shots to be taken at these people. She wants to be safe in the middle. I think that's great. She wants to play both sides. Love that. I think that she is a little bit misguided here, because there is more nuance to this than I think most players tend to realize. A lot of people think, I'm nicely in the middle here. I'm not going to be in trouble. But the problem is that it's pretty rare that two sides take each other out down to a nice manageable number where you can swoop in as the middle group and take over. What usually happens is one side dominates the other, and you're just left on the bottom of the winning side's team, essentially. And you have no room to play. You have to make a power play from the middle if you want to have success. And a lot of players find that out over time. They're like, hey, I'm in the power alliance, but I'm also good with people outside. I'm going to be throwing HOHs. I'm going to be letting these two go after each other. And then sooner or later, they find that one side has been decimated and now they're that other side. And that's not a good place to be. And so that's something to be concerned about. In addition to that, Whitney is not so neatly placed in the middle as she thinks. As we know, people connect her with Brent and mm-hmm. want to put her on the block next to Brent. And so if she throws a competition to the women, she's going to find herself with a very unpleasant surprise of being put up on the block. And probably that alliance that she is on the bottom of is going to be trying to keep Brent around instead of her. And it's not going to be particularly pleasant for her.
This was so funny that, like, actually watching this conversation versus like seeing the updates on Twitter, watching this conversation, I was like, oh, they don't understand what's happening. And Alyssa and Whitney were like, we are great. We are good. We're strong. We're two girls in this men's alliance. And I always said I wanted to go to the end with a girl, but I'd be with the guys and we're not like the other girls type talk. And they ended up by jumping and they're like, if the strong girls want to go for our guys, that's fine with us. Meanwhile, Tiffany, Claire, Azza have already talked about putting Brent and Whitney on the block as soon as this upcoming week. So Whitney is nowhere near as snug as she thinks she was. So this was just very funny for me to watch because they legit ended their conversation jumping around and dancing because they are convinced that they are so well positioned in that group and in that house that it is just like, And like you said, they agreed that they wanted to throw some competitions to the girls. And I was just like, I mean, if you want to throw this week, please. Alyssa says she doesn't. Alyssa says she needs to go after HOH, which makes sense.
She wants to go after Derek. She wants to win HOH, go after Derek. But yes, Whitney is going to want to throw.
It wants to throw. Exactly. So this is just very funny. And again, it seems like all the people that I'm rooting against are throwing the competition. So this is, I'm looking forward to tonight, but you know, I don't want to jinx anything.
Yes.
This is funny.
Yes. Now, Whitney does say something that, because again, I do think that Whitney, like,
she has the right idea.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She's not
a very good idea.
Totally wrong in her strategic mm-hmm. thinking. And one of the good things that she talks about is that we need to make sure that we are getting closer with the women.
Yes.
And we need to be more active in that, which is a good thing for them. And she advises Alyssa that, have-nots are over. You need to get downstairs because you miss so much. Like, no game talk happens until after like 2 or 3 in the morning and you're already up there in the have not room isolated from everyone. Everyone else is downstairs, you know, gone to bed. And they're all talking game. That's where I found out all this information. So you need to get down here. And so Alyssa's like, okay.
Whitney is a very good player, but I think the problem is she's relying too much on Frenchie to be her font of information as opposed to gathering it herself. Especially when he is not a trustworthy font of information and often makes up lies. So, this is great strategy from Whitney, but she has to be more proactive socially. A lot of people in this house kind of need to be more proactive socially because they have the strategic minds, but you need that social capital to be able to do whatever you need to do. So,
yes.
I will give her that. Whitney is not totally, she's not totally like off in the weeds. I just think it's funny because she's just going off of everything that Frenchie says, and everything he says is not the truth sometimes.
Yes. So Alyssa's going to make some rounds asking people about their vote and stuff. Really, the only thing that really seemed notable to me is that when she talks to Sarah Beth, she very heavily sort of tries to push Sarah Beth toward going after Derek, saying like, you should want to put Derek up because he said your name, he said my name, he said Christian's name. These are people, we're your team, like you should want to go after Derek, you should be putting him up. This is when she says that she told him that she wouldn't mind if he voted her out, but really she'd use it as an excuse to target him.
Right.
And in my mind, if I'm Sarah Beth and I have any lingering thoughts of putting Derek on the block as a replacement nominee or whatever, the fact that I am being pushed toward Derek by somebody who is in a majority alliance, that they, that person hasn't told you about that majority alliance, and they're pretending to be your ally and they're pushing you toward one particular person, I would run in the opposite direction of that. I hope that that's what Sarah Beth took away from that conversation, but I don't know.
This conversation, Sarah Beth, if she is a, as capable a player as I think she is, she should have gained, she should have put all of the puzzle pieces in place. Because at this point, Kylan has told her about the slaughterhouse. She made him say the names to her like at least twice. So she knows. And this was a great, this was just a great conversation because Alyssa was trying to not even finesse the all girls alliance information out of Sarah Beth, and Sarah Beth was trying to get some slaughterhouse information out of Alyssa. But I really do think that Sarah Beth got a lot more information from Alyssa and then Christian. And then when Xavier come, because they end up having a team meeting. And at this point, Sarah Beth knows that every person in her team is in that slaughterhouse except for her. And she was asking Alyssa like, oh, well, who do you trust outside of our team? And then when Alyssa said Brent, and then Christian comes up and says Brent, and then Xavier sits down and like, Xavier, who do you trust? And he was like, Brent. I was like, oh my God. And then Sarah Beth even said like, oh my God, maybe what am I missing? Brent never talks game with me, but you guys feel comfortable with him. And I was like, Sarah Beth, please put the pieces together. I think she did, but I don't know. It was, it happened so late at night. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and it's also very funny because we finally had this moment where Sarah Beth, who now knows that the slaughterhouse exists and the name and the people, is able to talk to Alyssa and be like, so what do you think Frenchie is up to? Because remember, you were there, right, when he approached us about the slaughterhouse? but then nothing seemed to have ever come about from that. Like, do you think he formed that with other people, but not us?
That was so good. I love Sarah Beth in this conversation. Alyssa was like, no, no. It's like, you're telling her all she needs to know. And I'm so curious as to what she does with, like, this is confirmation. So I really want to know what she does with this information. And like you said, if anything, this should really tell her she needs to, like, lay off the Derek X train. But I like this conversation again. I thought this was, they're both very well matched because they both thought they knew something that the other person didn't know.
So somebody pointed out in the chat, and it's actually true, that Sarah Beth actually knows more about the slaughterhouse than Alyssa does. Because Alyssa's information about the slaughterhouse comes from like the version that Frenchie has told her and like the idea that like she's part of, but like Alyssa knows that it, Sarah Beth knows that it's the butchers and the slaughterhouse, and like who's in it and how it started and when. Alyssa thinks that like it all came together that one night and they're all on a team. And then obviously Sarah Beth also knows a lot more about French kisses because while Alyssa may think she knows about this alliance, her information again comes from Frenchie, which is completely wrong. It's not quite on an even footing when it comes to factual information here.
It was just very fun to watch them spar, though. I will give them that. Give Alyssa some credit, I guess.
So Alyssa's going to talk with Christian, and she lets him know, what Whitney told her about the Women's Alliance. And she says, apparently it was started by Claire. Christian talks about Brittany. She says she can't believe that Derek has been lying to her face. He keeps saying that he's never talked about her, coming after Christian. He's got to go. Christian says like, well, I don't really know if I want to win the HOH. And she's like, no, you need to gun for it. It's like, yeah, but I don't want to put a bigger target on it. No, you need to gun for it. She's going to push him hard to play for the HOH. This is good for her. Bad for anybody who doesn't want somebody in the slaughterhouse to win HOH, because I think that Christian's probably the biggest threat to win this HOH. And if he is trying to win, that is a big obstacle in the way of other people winning. But he clearly still doesn't really want to, but his allies are pushing him to. So we'll see where that goes. They also talk about Xavier. She says that she doesn't trust Xavier. She gets a weird vibe from him. She heard from Frenchie that he tried to get Derek to use the veto on her over Kyland. And I think that's probably where this again stems from. Every bit of her game and how she feels about people is coming from information that comes from Frenchie. And Frenchie is such an unreliable source of information that it is really steering her in a strange direction. Now, I don't think it's bad for her game to target Derek. I don't think it's bad for her game to be in the position she's in. For somebody who's on the block in the first week, she's pretty safe and she's in a decent spot moving forward. I don't have a lot to complain about with her game in that sense. However, the Xavier stuff is particularly damaging to her because Xavier could be very, very valuable to her game if she used him. But because of this tiny little bit of information from Frenchie, which is true, but doesn't really mean anything, she has decided to essentially sort of like discard this very important piece that she could be using in her game to really solidify power within this structure. And that is a big mistake in my view.
Yeah. Xavier straight up told her to her face that like she's his type. And I get it. You don't want to be in showmances, but you still want to be close to people, have people have your back. So yeah, she's letting that bug, the Frenchie bug, get into her ear about not trusting Xavier. And it's upsetting to be quite honest. She's not thinking for herself in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but also, Taryn, I did have a question. They were talking about the different teams and they were wondering if, Brent would throw the HOH so that Derek X would be safe, right?
Yeah. They mentioned that idea. It's not something that I don't think that Brent will do it. They would like for Brent to do it because they really want to go after Derek, but Brent doesn't really have any intention of letting Derek go if he doesn't have to. I mean, he's like, if you guys win, you will go after Derek. I'm not going to stop you. But he's like, if I win, obviously I can't go after Derek. So
yeah.
I think that he will be trying to win in part to protect Derek and his team and in part just, because then he'll have power and all that. So
yeah. And that was another important thing that they said in front of Sarah Beth. They said that Brent was not openly targeting Derek X. Brent had said that he was okay with Derek X. And Sarah Beth even said, oh, well, that's not really good for my game. And they were like, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. So that's like another piece of info that Sarah Beth just has there, just right there for her. So yeah, that was pretty interesting because they were talking about the teams and our team is all four of us are going and then the other two teams are down one and then maybe we can get the one team, Derek X's team, to throw it. It was a brief conversation, but she didn't know that two of the people on her team are planning on throwing it as well when it was Christian and Xavier at that time. So,
Brent's going to end up joining them and Xavier's going to end up joining them later as well. But Brent comes in and he gives them a little bit more information on the Women's Alliance. He's saying it came from the grapevine because they're like, well, where did this come from? And he's like, we heard it through the grapevine. He keeps saying that. So this is, I think, an interesting example. There's going to be another thing later. But when Alyssa was talking to Whitney about the Women's Alliance, Whitney said that it came from Frenchie and that he told Brent. Alyssa's like, but I talked to Brent and he just said that he heard no details. And Whitney was essentially like, oh, he was lying to you then because he was there. Yeah. He was told. But it just kind of gets washed away and explained Brent didn't say because he didn't know the full names, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But these little inconsistencies, genuinely, Brent was withholding information from her that Whitney ended up telling her. But it's not something that she really caught on to because she didn't want to catch on to it, right? Mm-hmm. She didn't want there to be an issue there. And that's one of the reasons why Frenchie is getting away with so many things is because, again, and we've talked about this, but you don't want this person who has power over you to be, giving you incorrect information. And when he's giving information that sort of already aligns with, you know, something that you feel comfortable with, then you're much more willing to accept that information than something that challenges your current belief system. So, you know, the information that, that like, oh, Brent might have been withholding information from me, or like Frenchie might be withholding information from me. I'm sure there's a good explanation for that. Information that, Derek X might be lying to. Of course. Big inconsistency there. Obviously lying, and he's telling the truth, right? So, something you have to watch out for in Big Brother a lot and in real life. Brent is also going to brag about being the reason that Travis is on the block. He does this a lot. And this is funny because I mentioned this, you know, Xavier talking about how Brent can take the credit for it if he wants. Alyssa literally says, you know, Brent, you really deserve all the credit for this. Like, you really helped me out here. And he gets all the credit. Brent is also going to admit to Alyssa and Christian that if it were up to him, they would not have been invited to the slaughterhouse. They're like, well, we got lucky that we were invited in there before you, right? And he's like, yep.
Yeah. Like, and this is,
I'm just going to be straight up.
This is Frenchie's fault as well, because Frenchie started this whole week of openly targeting people. When the targets fell through, he told them to their face that I was openly targeting you, but oh, we're good now. Let's be in an alliance. Like, that's why the slaughterhouse is built on shaky sand, because half of them were targeting each other before they even became in an alliance. So, including Brent and Christian here. So, all of this, like, oh, I guess if I'm being truthful for you, and I'm saying that, oh, I used to target you, but I don't target you anymore, is supposed to protect them. I don't understand how you don't get that whole "I got to shoot first before they shoot at me" type of situation.
Well, so Alyssa and Christian had talked about Brent, and Alyssa basically said, it's not good for my game for a shot to be taken at Brent. I would not do that. But for your game, it probably does make sense. And, and Christian does think that he's going to need to take a shot at Brent at some point, or that he needs other people to win and take a shot at Brent. So Christian, I think, again, is kind of like, well, if a woman wants to win and take a shot at Brent, I'm kind of okay with that. But he may want that to happen a little bit later rather than sooner, but we'll see.
Right.
Alyssa is going to talk with Xavier, and she is basically like, you're going after Derek, right? Like, he's coming after us. He's like, sure. And she's like, but were you going to go after him before I just said that? He's like, not really. I mean, right. Why not? He said that he trusts our team the least, and he's coming after us. And he's like, is he though? I feel like he's not. I don't think he's coming after you. And she's like, of course he is. He's like, okay, yeah, then yeah, I'm going after Derek, don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. She was so incensed because she's convinced he lied to her face. He's coming after Alyssa and Christian, so everybody on their team needs to go after Derek X. So
He says to the cameras afterwards that I have no intention of winning HOH. Yep. Alyssa can target Derek if she wants, but look, if somebody outside of the slaughterhouse wins, that sounds like a slaughterhouse problem, not an Xavier problem.
I love it. But again, it's unfortunate. He's on the bottom of the slaughterhouse. So he's really playing roulette when he lets that power not having full control over it.
Sarah is going to talk a little bit with Derek. And this, again, I'm hoping that what happened is that between Kylan vouching for Derek and then the weird conversation with Alyssa and Sarah, that she's genuinely feeling like, maybe I don't want to target Derek. Maybe I don't even put him on the block. She talks to him. She kind of apologizes for not really like talking to him more, and like getting to know him more. And he's like, it's like, I totally understand like the position that I was in. And she says that she wants to work with him moving forward.
Yeah. Which is great. This is good. If you know you have a solid majority alliance, you got to put whatever beef aside and y'all got to try and make it work on the outsiders. We say that every year. We always hope that the outsiders work together. The good thing, though, is it's still early in the season that they can make something happen. And the other good thing is that Slaughterhouse is not solid as a rock. So yeah, this is so great. And oh God, I'm so scared for tonight. I'm so scared.
All right. Frenchie, Alyssa, and Christian are going to talk late into the night here. They talk about how they don't trust Xavier. Frenchie tells them, hey, I was approached by the women for an alliance. And they're like, what? Alyssa asks, because he says, you weren't included, Alyssa, and Whitney wasn't included. And so Alyssa goes, well, what about Hannah? Was Hannah included? And he says, yes. She said, what? Really? I just talked to her and she said, I'm just so confused. And he's like, don't worry, you're the only two I'm telling this to. Like, they already knew about this because Whitney uh-huh. told Alyssa and Brent told them. So they know that he told other people, but again, just kind of like, okay, whatever. And sort of he explains like, she's like, I'm confused. Like, who have you told? Who knows? Like Brent knows. And he's like, yeah, Brent knows. I mean, he knows a little. I haven't told him names. Oh, that's why Brent hasn't told me specifics, because he doesn't know the names. It's like, again, like just forming illogical like leaps to mm-hmm. make sense of what you want to believe. He says, look, here's the deal. The three of us are covered by the slaughterhouse and all of those women, and he names all the women. And Alyssa's like, wait, Sarah Beth is in this too? He's like, yeah. And so the progress that Hannah made, mm-hmm. not sure about it now that Frenchie is dropping her as, yes, she is a part of this alliance. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where that goes. This could backfire on Frenchie, but more likely it's going to backfire on Hannah, although it might depend on who has power in the next week. Christian says, so should I try to win HOH or not?
Right.
He's again trying. Okay, this is a reason I can throw HOH. And they both go, no, yeah, yes, you should try to win the HOH. And he's like, okay. And so that's, again, he's being pushed to try and win this HOH again. And we'll see where that goes. But again, I feel like he's saying yes to his allies. Then he's mm-hmm. going to go to Derek and he's going to be like, hey, Derek, I'm going to keep you safe if I win this HOH. You do the same for me? Derek's like, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he plans on winning.
Right. And again, why would he make that bargain if hours earlier he was convinced that Derek X is the person who's coming after him? So,
well, I think he thinks Derek X is the person coming after him. That's why he wants an agreement with Derek. Don't come after me if you win. I won't come after you if I win. He's like, he's covering his bases with the person he thinks he's most in danger with.
Right.
Which you would probably want to do regardless, but especially want to do if you planned on throwing the HOH.
Yeah, true. This is, it's week one. Like, I don't even know. It's week one and they are staying up till like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., every single night talking about absolutely nothing. And when I say absolutely nothing, I mean the exact same thing they talked about during the day. So it is just, this is just amazing. I can't wait. Can we please speculate on the HOH? You know, I love a good speculation.
Well, just when one final thing, which is that Brent basically lets Travis know, you know, if I had to guess, I would be very surprised if you got the votes to stay, Travis. Mm-hmm. And Travis mentioned the possibility of trying to blow things up on his way out the door, particularly, I think, aimed toward Frenchie. But we'll see. We'll see if anything, you know, happens there. People say that a lot, but then it doesn't always happen. Not everyone is Kacer. We'll see where that goes. I've given up trying to like look forward to what Travis may or may not do, because yesterday was a big disappointment from him.
Right. And he said he's going to say a speech or something like. Mm-hmm. Two against Frenchie. I don't know. We'll see.
So yes, heading into tonight for the HOH competition. Yes.
Let me bring up my chart here just to make sure I got everybody's names.
Xavier, I think, is throwing. Big D is throwing. These are the slaughterhouse people. Xavier, Big D throwing. I think Christian might throw, but he is also like one of those really competitive people. He may not be able to stop himself, especially with the pressure from his alliance to compete. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't count that as a locked in throw, but Whitney wants to throw. Alyssa wants to play. And Kylan wants to, I believe, wants to play, but he's not necessarily going to. Yes, he's not necessarily going to do what the Slaughterhouse wants him to if he does. So I'm very curious to see where that one goes. But there's only a couple people in the Slaughterhouse who may even think of playing. We have Tiffany, who's playing. Claire is going to be trying. Sarah Beth, I think, will be playing.
Aza is going to be playing.
Brittany, although she's spoken about throwing before. But she's also, again, been one of those people that's talked about, like, if I'm up there, like, I don't know if I can, I'm competitive. A lot of the women, I think, are going to be, trying for this. Brent, I don't think will throw unless there's like a very specific, consistency up there. Derek X, I think, will be playing to win. He's been encouraged to do that. So, odds are seemingly stacked in the favor of, the women and them. But at the same time, where the competitions have stacked up so far, if Christian does try to win, depending on the kind of competition as well, it's overly physical. Now, in the past, a week two HOHs have been usually either crap shooty kind of things or quiz kind of things. So, with that in mind, really anybody could theoretically win.
Didn't they, sequestered them in HOH? During a period yesterday, and going into, before they went into the HOH, they were all kind of speculating on what it would be. And they're like, oh, sometimes they let you practice for the crapshoots. By the time they came out of it, everybody was convinced that it was like a crapshoot competition. So once the feeds came back. So I'm wondering if they did get the practice or something like that. But I think a lot of the house, did you see that, or am I tripping? I thought of people thought it was going to be a crapshoot.
I've seen some of that. I will say that, like, not all crapshoots are made equal. some of them do involve a small amount of skill. And if that's the case, I would again watch out for somebody like Christian, who, spends a lot of time doing stuff like that, playing frisbee golf and little hand-eye coordination stuff like that. There are small things that you can do to have a slightly better chance of winning those, depending on what kind of crapshoot it is. So,
Also found it a little interesting that Tiffany basically asked Brittany to throw it, saying we don't want Frenchie safe another week, which I agree with her. But then on the same hand, she told Aza to go for it so that they could put up Brent and Whitney.
Yeah. I don't know what that was about. I think that she should want Brittany to go for it. Who cares about Frenchie right now?
Since they don't even plan on targeting him.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So, we'll see. We'll see. Obviously this was a long update. There's a lot of stuff heading into this HOH, and at least half of it's probably going to be irrelevant based on who wins, right? We're giving you both sides of where this season, but certainly week, could go in the different scenarios of where the HOH will land. So hopefully you'll have some kind of idea tonight, depending on who wins, assuming we see who wins, which I think we will, where things might go from there. So that's pretty much what we got for you.
Yep, that's it. Putting you on the spot. Who do you want to win?
It's Tiffany.
Yeah, of course. I Tiffany or Claire. I really want to see. I want Claire to win and get some information and some power.
Claire would be good too, because it would basically be a Tiffany HOH, I think. And maybe it wouldn't put as much of a target on Tiffany. Moving forward. She wouldn't have to make the move herself. But either way, I think I think I would like to see Tiffany do it because I'd just like to see how she handles it. Although Claire would be good too, because I think that Claire probably needs it more than Tiffany does in terms of like integrating more with the house. So
footing wise, but we'll see. I'm so excited. Thank you. Thank you for having me on for this. Is it plug time?
Let's plug the things.
Okay. All right. You can catch me and Matt Scott on the Wrestling Wrap Up every week. We normally drop on Sundays. This week we have a pay-per-view coming up. So you can also, you can follow us on Twitter and Stereo, the Stereo app, at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two, and at Matt Scott GW. If you follow us on Stereo, you'll get notified every time we go live. And when we do live Stereo podcasts, you can ask us questions and be involved in the podcast. So always, you know, come and check us out if you're up after a pay-per-view. But this was really fun. Again, I love doing the updates. Big Brother 23 has delivered in this first week. So let's hope it keeps going. I've loved listening to you wade through the mess, Taryn, because it's a lot. But other than that, thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. You can, of course, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I will be doing a stream later today. Look for it around when the feeds go down for the day. Maybe a bit of a delay after that just to make sure that they're down. And then, you know, I don't know if I'll be like entirely ready when they exactly go down. But sometime during the day around when the feeds go down, I'm going to go live on Twitch to talk about the Stockwatch. If you have any questions about the Stockwatch, how it works, how you need to play, or advice for what to do in it, check out that stream. Ask me any questions that you need to have answered. And then during the episode, I will be live on Twitch as well, watching the first eviction of the season, and then a live reaction to the HOH competition and result as well. So that should be interesting. And then after the episode, I will be on the podcast with Rob and you know, some great people, and we will talk through the episode. And that's going to be today. Tomorrow I'll be back in the morning to update you on whatever happens today and later tonight on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. And then tomorrow during the day, we're going to have the patron Q&A for Big Brother again. So lots of content heading your way for Big Brother. You can also find me, of course, on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Thank you guys once again for joining us, and I will see all of you next week.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.